When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week on Underdogs, we've got college football playoff spoilers, the best underdogs to bet in Week 10, and a surprise hit in the world of reality TV.
The cry goes up both far and near for Underdog. Underdog.
Countdown going on right now. Morrow, up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
By George, the dream is alive.
Underdog. Then I guess there's only one thing left to do. Win the whole fucking thing.
It's the Underdogs back here for another week. I'm Jordan Brenner, your co-host. Unfortunately, we are missing Peter Keating this week. He's still recovering, but we are hopeful to see him soon and wish him the very best. In the meantime, we found someone to fill in for Peter who's almost as good a run blocker as Peter is. We welcome Mike Golic Jr. You know him from Gojo and Golic. Mike, thank you so much for coming back. We usually scare people off when they come on us on our show one time.
Now, you know what? You guys were very inviting. I am excited to be back. Obviously, you know, certainly wishing Peter well and hoping he's back here soon to sound a lot better than me. And you're right, improve the run blocking grade. I always thought I was a slightly better pass blocker, but that's grading on a curve for both, considering I was about dead dog average in either aspect.
Well, look, you pull Peter and he's going to lay a couple guys out. So it's a high bar to clear, but, you know, we think you've got potential. We will get into, as always, our underdog contest, where we tell you what underdog NFL teams to pick this week. And then we've got a little surprise in the last segment, a little bit of Bachelor talk. But first, it's time to get back into college football. It's time to talk about party poopers, teams that could spoil the college football playoff scenario, teams that are sitting there with one loss. Mike, first of all, are there any underdogs left? Are there any underdogs that can crash the party?
So I always like to do the exercise, just going how far down we do and shutting the door on the floor, right? So two losses, we know, non-starter as far as the college football playoff party. Goodbye to Oklahoma. We wish you well in your new endeavors in the Southeastern Conference next year. And so you get all the way down. Louisville is sitting there at number 11. And I think they're the last team that I think would be considered it in any way a true spoiler, because you look above that, Penn State sitting at number 10. They were one of the teams at the beginning of the season we expected to be in that triumvirate in the Big Ten East that had a realistic shot based on their roster at going forward. So I'd say Louisville's the one if you're looking for a true underdog story in the world of college sports right now.
So Louisville's super interesting for a couple reasons, right? And we were talking before the show, to some extent, they control their own destiny in that they have winnable games all the way to the ACC championship game. And then they would presumably play Florida State. If they knock off an undefeated Florida State, then it takes just a little bit of chaos for them to really be considered as a one-loss team, maybe sneaking into that four spot. I was noticing on DraftKings, you can bet Louisville, first of all, to win the ACC championship game at plus 300, but why not take them in that scenario to make the playoff at plus 1400? Is there value in that?
I think there is, if you subscribe to the chaos theory, which, to be clear, we can absolutely get. Like, college football schedule is so backloaded for a lot of the conferences that are going to be the big time determining factors in this. The SEC has some of their best games at the end of the season, especially Georgia in their ranked schedule. All the Big Ten East teams that we talked about, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, those games coming up in the last month of the year. And then the Pac-12, we know, is traditionally eaten its young during this portion of the year. And with teams like Utah and Washington playing, Oregon and USC playing, you've still got the game in Corvallis coming up later this year. All of these things are going to be factors where, yeah, there absolutely could be value there, even if, for Louisville, it would be fascinating to me, given the situation that you mentioned there, if we play out some of the other eventualities, what the committee would do with a team like them who would have that win recently in an ACC championship game against a team like Texas, who still has an opportunity to win the Big 12, would only have one loss on their resume, and would have that Alabama win that the committee seems to love right now.
let's get way ahead of ourselves before we close the book on Louisville. If they actually get in, could they do any damage, or are they just going to be outclassed by the other types of teams you expect to see in a 14 playoff?
I think they'd be able to do some damage. I mean, Jeff Brohm can't give him enough credit for what he's done in infusing life already into this program. There's a lot of team speed out there when they're healthy on that roster, especially offensively. Defensively, they throw a ton at you. So I think they could absolutely be a chaos agent. I do think this year, though, in particular, there seems to be a bit of an upper crust right now. I know Ohio State's ranked number one, but provided Michigan goes out and handles business against Penn State in the way I'd imagine, I still do think Georgia and Michigan kind of feel like the teams that are going to be tough to unseat just because of where they're at in their program life cycle versus a team like Louisville, who would be more in line of what we saw with TCU last year, where you come in and you're able to kind of go in and shock everybody in year one, or, you know, early on in your tenure with this program. So I think it'd be fun, but ultimately I don't think I would see them as a team that would win a game in the CFP at this point.
Well, to the other point you made there, there's some really interesting distinctions between what the rankings say right now and what betting lines suggest might happen. Okay, so you mentioned Ohio State's ranked number one, but they're actually plus money to make the playoffs, you know. So there's definitely the betting community thinks Michigan's going to beat them and that Ohio State's not even going to make it in as a one loss team. Same with the Washington Oregon situation. Oregon is minus 110 to make the playoff, Washington plus 145. So there's certainly a feeling that if those teams meet in a rematch in the Pac-12 title game, that they will, that the Ducks will clap back at them. Where are you seeing those outcomes potentially?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So I was I call college football games for Learfield Radio and did that national game of the week when it was Oregon Washington, and you really saw an Oregon team that for probably 3.5 quarters of that game looked like the better outfit. So I would not be surprised they'd be favored in a rematch of that. And I think based on what we've seen from both teams since, you know, Washington got a great win against USC this last weekend in a shootout that was fun to watch, but it did have you scratching your head after going, all right, what exactly is this Washington defense at this particular juncture? How worried are we about the fact that that was a game that was, you know, up over 100 points? So I would probably say that's right. And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge. It's always the blend of best versus most deserving. But I think especially this year, so much of the early season schedule has us prorating what we've known about teams from prior years in a way that right now we're waiting to be backed up by the schedule. But I think the betting odds reflect that. Bill Connolly's SP Plus over at ESPN reflects that. It's got Michigan and Georgia as 1 and 2, with Ohio State as 3, and then Oregon at 4 right after that in terms of overall team quality.
So here's my favorite scenario, and I texted it to you. If you like chaos in college football, and I really do, okay, the following things need to happen. Michigan loses to Penn State but beats Ohio State. Okay. Right. That puts all three of those teams at one loss. Okay. Florida State loses to Louisville in the ACC championship game, puts them at one loss. Texas runs the table and finishes with one loss. Alabama runs the table, wins the conference title with one loss, beating Georgia. You could either have Georgia, in fact, you don't even need to have Georgia lose to Ole Miss or Tennessee, because that still adds. So what are the chances of those three things? Oh, and then we have the Oregon beating Washington in the rematch. At this point, there's like 8-1 loss teams. I'm just getting excited thinking about that and the hand wringing. What are you rooting for, chaos? And what happens in something even close to that scenario?
Alabama probably wins the national championship is the short term of that. Ugh. Like all inevitable roads when it comes to chaos right now. Alabama is in full blown. Is it Halloween where you get the piano music in the background, the do do, and all of a sudden you got the guy standing up and just walking you down? That's the mode Alabama's been in. Really, forget the Texas game. The South Florida game was where we left Alabama for dead. And ever since then, once they cycled through some of those backup quarterbacks and got Jalen Milroe in there now, dude looks comfy. Dude looks awful comfy. Tommy Rees, their offensive coordinator, and him have kind of figured out how to get the best out of a quarterback that's not a future first rounder like the other guys we've seen, but it's a damn good college quarterback with a roster that's full of talent in other spots. So I think all roads would lead to them at that point. As far as likelihood of those outcomes, the one I would buy the least in all of that, because I could see in a world Louisville potentially upstating a Florida State team that's played with their food at different junctures of this team. People go back to the BC game a bunch, even the Duke game. Duke had them on the ropes before the Riley Leonard injury. That was a 100%. Team that was in control. The one that seems least likely to me right now from where I sit is Penn State upsetting Michigan. I truly think that this is a year where I'd have, even with Ohio State being lesser on offense than we've seen in the past, especially at quarterback, I still think the margin would be closer there with Ohio State and Michigan than it would with Penn State and Michigan based on how Penn State's structured right now.
All right, so let's quit talking about upsets for a second. Just if you were to put your money on four teams to be standing at the end, who's in the playoff?
So I've had Michigan and Georgia and Penn for a while. I think those are going to be the two ones in there. Alabama makes me a little bit nervous because they've got a lot of what damages Georgia, but I'll stick with what I got on that. And then outside of that, I would have Oregon making it from the Pac-12 at this point. And then I think from there, an undefeated ACC champion, Florida State, probably gets in. So I would bank on those as to me what look like the most likely outcomes at this point, even if you could make arguments that there might be a couple quote-unquote better teams that get left out.
Hard to argue against that. If before we close the book on our college football segment, I'm just curious, over the course of this season now, I can't believe we're already sort of looking at it as the last gasp of the season. It just goes so fast. But any underdog story that we haven't talked about among the, you know, maybe it's not one of the best teams, maybe it's a small school that you've really enjoyed or has piqued your interest this year? Could be something in the Heisman race, could be a team. What sort of captured your attention as an unlikely thing that's happened this season?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's unlikely, but I think the continued resurgence of Kansas football under Lance Leipold, they're 16th in the latest college football playoff rankings that came out. They've had a couple of banner wins this season. You go back to a couple of weeks ago, the Oklahoma one is certainly the one that's going to stand out over everything else. But I don't know. I just look at the fact that that school now has done so well early in his tenure that we saw them pony up for the contract last year, resource wise around the program. I remember going and covering a game at Kansas when Les Miles was the coach there. And this was when Jamie Chadwell's Coastal Carolina was coming online. Coastal had been displaced by a hurricane for like a month. They went out there and they got one of their first big wins as a program on the rise on the road at Kansas. And I remember getting to go around the facilities and I got a tour of the basketball facility and I saw how Bill Self and company were living over there versus the facilities and the things available to you as the football program. And it was what you'd expect from a school that's been a basketball school. What Kansas has now forced the university's hand on from the football side has been awesome to watch. Can't say enough good things about Lance and the job that he's done there. Juggling two quarterbacks for a lot of this year because of injuries, it's been a delight.
It's a great point, and it's going to be really fun to see how they carry this going forward with the conference identity shape changing a little bit. There's a chance for someone to become the new big dog. Why not Kansas? And why not talk some NFL, which we'll do with our Underdog Underdogs contest right after this.
Underdog. Underdog.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Underdog. Underdog.
And we're back with the week 10 version of the Underdogs Underdogs contest. If you're new to it, quite simple. We have to pick an underdog. The team has to be a dog of at least 3 points. You get 1 point if they cover, 2 points if they win outright, third point if they were a 6-point dog or more and win outright. We draft in a snake order. This week, Mike Golick will be drafting for the guests. He will go first, followed by me. And then filling in for Peter is our producer, Sari McCrory. She will pick third and fourth, then back around to me and Mike. The standings heading into week 10. After a strong week with 2 outright wins by Mike Sando for the guests last week, the guests are winning. They are at 17.5 points. Peter and I are tied at 14.5 points. Let's change that this week. But first up, you know what? Let's it's a small board this week, okay? We have to make 6 picks and there's only 8 games that qualify. Let's read it out real quick. You got the Texans plus 7 against the Bengals in a pristine Thursday night game. The Panthers plus 4 at the Bears. The Browns are getting 6 points at the Ravens. The Broncos plus 7.5 at the Bills. The 49ers are favored by 3 at Jacksonville. The Packers are getting 3 at Pittsburgh. The Giants are getting 16 points at the Cowboys. And the Commanders are getting 6 at the Seahawks. So those are your 8 games. We've got to pick 6 of them. Mike, where are you starting?
I am going to start with what I think is usually the safest bet. Tightly contested AFC North game. Give me the Browns plus 6 against the Ravens. It just seems too obvious. The last time these two teams played, it was a blowout, but that was the DTR start for the Cleveland Browns, which love DTR, was pumped to see him get the opportunity. But against this Ravens defense, rookie ain't the guy you want out there, even though Deshaun Watson hasn't been like actually good this season. I think Browns defense, the AFC North of it all, this one's played close to the vest. The under's probably somehow in play, even though I think that number is like 37.5, but it definitely works there. So give me them.
This was the only game I really, really liked. yeah, it's funny because we've talked about Lamar Jackson having a poor record against the spread as a favorite. It didn't hold up last week. I got destroyed with the Seahawks, but I'm not sure that trend maybe carries forward in this new Todd Monken offense. You know, they're airing it out more. It probably leads to a less conservative style play, maybe a chance to cover big numbers. But what I do know is the Ravens are at the peak of their market right now. There's Super Bowl talk. Are they the best team in football? And typically when a team hits its peak, what do you want to do? You want to sell. Mm-hmm. And I think the Browns are a good football team. So I love this pick. I hate you for picking it. And now I've got to turn elsewhere. So why not turn to the Slop Fest on Thursday night?
Yeah.
Panthers traveling to the Chicago Bears. They're getting 4 points. I need a reason to watch the game. So why not take the Panthers plus 4? Favorites of 3.5 or more who've won less than 25% of their games, like the Bears, facing another bad team that's won less than 25% of their games, like the Panthers, are 52-80-1 against the spread. When they're at home, they're winning just 38% of the time. Now, a lot of that is very early in the season when you have like an 0-2 team and an 0-3 team and a 1-2 team or something like that. And week 8 or later, it's 10-12. So I'm just going to go. The Panthers have shown some life at various points this season. I can't trust the Bears as a favorite of any kind. You know, is Justin Fields back? Is what kind of shape is he in? So, I like getting more than a field goal in what is just a terrible game. So give me the Panthers. Sari, you are up twice in place of Peter.
Great.
Sounds so excited.
Well, I just want to say, I feel like it's unfair because Peter did not prep me for this. So this is just me going off vibes, which is normally fine when I'm picking for myself. When I'm picking for Peter, who is a wealth of knowledge and research on these topics, I am not Peter.
Sarah, just channel your inner Peter, make a couple dad jokes, and then keep talking.
Or should I? I'll just talk for the rest of the segment. Yeah. All right, my first pick, I'm going with the Broncos plus 7.5 at the Bills. My reasoning is because the Bills just aren't who people thought they were, and I think we're watching them unravel, and that's my reasoning there.
This was my next pick. The Broncos are playing much better. The defense has actually found some sort of an identity after giving up 70 points early in the season. They've made some adjustments. Russell Wilson is not playing terribly, and it feels like Javonte Williams is finally back to who we thought he was pre-injury. So I think I love this. The Bills are not playing well, and they've been decimated by injuries. So good pick, Peter, Sarah.
Thanks. Okay. For my second pick, I'm just going to do it for the plot. I'm taking the Giants plus 16.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
It's
DeVito she trusts.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that sometimes the best way to bet is to just say, what would be the funniest possible outcome of any given NFL weekend? Because 9 out of 10 times, that's not a real statistic. The funniest thing usually happens to remind us that the margins in this league are so close.
I was trying to find some sort of a trend there about like,
I mean, huge, I don't trust in DeVito whatsoever. I'm actually hoping that he makes it out of this Cowboys defense alive. But what I do actually trust in is the Giants defense has proven this season that they can play like a unit. So I don't know, maybe some defensive touchdowns the Giants somehow cover.
I was trying to find some sort of a trend that showed like, oh, a team who's an underdog of more than 2 touchdowns in a rematch, you know, none of that pops up. Certainly nothing that points to when you have your third string quarterback as the guy under center in that situation. But, you know, this season's over. We're not going to talk about the Giants anymore.
Something interesting to note in this game in favor of the Giants, I will say, is so far right now in terms of defense, the Giants are, I believe I'm checking this right, according to teamrankings.com, the number 3 defense in terms of third down percentage on the season. Dak's been the best quarterback on third down for most of this NFL season. So unstoppable force, immovable object type thing there, where they're at least good in the places that the Dallas Cowboys have been hurting people.
I'm wondering if the Giants should just run 3 straight QB sneaks and not turn the ball over and just hang in that way.
Do what they want the Eagles to do and just do the tush push every play.
I like it.
They tried that last week and it didn't work. So
the Giants not only are the only team that can't execute the tush push, they also are the only team I've seen botch the Philly special. It's amazing. Like things that are unstoppable, the Giants find a way to botch. But I can't do it anymore. The Giants.
This is for a different podcast.
Yeah, this is the Giants therapy podcast that we're going to be starting. All right, with my second pick and the 5th overall one of the Week 10 draft, I'll take the Texans plus 7 at the Bengals, which is funny because I may be taking the Bengals in survival, but I think that's a pretty big number for a feisty Texans team. I could see a backdoor cover here. Obviously, CJ Stroud was electric last week. He's got some good young receivers stepping up, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. Look, it's scary because the Bengals are playing quite well, and I'm not sure I would bet this if I didn't have to pick an underdog. But, you know, again, I think this adds some backdoor possibilities. So let's take Houston on the road here plus 7. Mike, you got 3 games left to choose from. Where are you gonna go?
All right, so just so I'm clear, we've got Commanders plus 6 at Seahawks still on the table.
Yep.
We've got Packers plus 3 at Steelers still on the table, and then Jags plus 3 at home against the 49ers. Do I have those right?
Yep.
Man, I'll probably go the Packers plus 3. Just, you know, we got a little bit of sign of life last week in the win there. Both of these are kind of teams and quarterbacks that for most of the season have decided not to flip the on switch until the fourth quarter. Kenny Pickett has definitely outshined what's been fourth quarter or Jordan Love from early in the season, but I still don't know what to do with this Steelers team. There's that stat that went around this week that they've been outgained, I think, in every game so far this season, and are like minus 790 yards on the year in terms of differential. But somehow Mike Tomlin just continues to Mike Tomlin through all of this. But maybe the Packers can keep it close enough to get the number.
Sure feels like under 39 is also in play for this game now.
Oh, big time. Yeah, this is going to be a rock fight.
Rock fight of 2 teams that do not rock. Well, you know what does rock, Mike Golic Jr.? The Bachelor franchise. And I was really excited to talk to you about Bachelor in Paradise, Kat's villainous status, whether anyone's going to walk away engaged, how many STDs people will walk away with, but you're not caught up. So, because you've been spending all your time watching The Golden Bachelor, which I would say appears to be the underdog of the franchise. So, Mike, I haven't watched a second of Golden Bachelor. Tell me why I've missed out.
And let me tell you what, my brother in Christ, you are in the minority of people, because I just saw these numbers the other day. The audience numbers, according to the 3-day Nielsen data, the last episode that we saw last week, the November 2nd episode with the hometown dates, did a 5.58, about 1 million more than that same day number and a 5% increase from the week prior. It's the most watched telecast for the Bachelor franchise since the finale of the flagship series from March of 2021. That would be Matt James' series. So people have loved the old out here getting their makeout on here. And my guy Jerry has been out here kissing with tongue lately. That man is getting frisky on screen here. We're down to the final three right now. Very exciting time. Faith, Leslie, and Teresa all had their hometowns this last week. And what I love is it's, I said the other day, and I don't mean this to infantilize these grown adults who are going through this process, many of them for the second time as either divorcees or widow/widowers, is it's like Chopped Junior, where it's a purer version of the franchise. They've curtailed some of the drama. They haven't dragged out anyone's stay in favor of the plot. They've, I think, treated all of these people with a lot of dignity, recognizing they've been through actual life and they're a lot older than all the producers and could rightly scold them if they tried to mess with them and wouldn't play their game. So it has been a joy to watch. I think Jerry's been a great bachelor for this franchise. I really hope they give us the Golden Bachelorette. I think we deserve that after this run, because clearly the proof is been in the pudding and the, you know, Jell-O pudding popsicles that I'm sure they all enjoy.
So it's a truer edit, and it's you know, an actual authentic attempt to find love as opposed to whatever clout the rest of the series is about. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and my good friend Charlotte Wilder, one of our compatriots here at the DraftKings Network, pointed out we're probably three cycles of the show away from the elderly influencers starting to infiltrate the arsenal, because I haven't looked yet, but she said you look at the social media of some of these ladies that are no longer on the show, we're pumping a little bit of product right now. So I think we're going to find out that a couple of these ladies are going to have burgeoning TikTok and Instagram reels that are going to start to make some waves.
So this is why we can't have nice things, basically.
Yes, 100%.
Enjoy the purity of season one, and then it's all over. Well, maybe I'll have to fire up the DVR and go back and watch some of these. But, you know,
I will give you the best sell for it, by the way, to that regard. Only hour-long episodes. Much easier to consume. It's the most bite-sized version of the product by far.
All right, you're making a strong case. Maybe Peter and I will snuggle up when he gets back on the couch and watch some episodes together. But until then, I'm Jordan Brenner. You can find me on Twitter at Jordan Brenner. We would love to hear from you about the show. Engage. What do you like? What don't you like? Do you want Golic to stay with us for the future? Things like that. Let's talk. Until then, we'll see you next week. The Underdogs Podcast is a production of Meadowlark Media and the DraftKings Network. Our show is produced by Sarah McCrory. Our executive producer is Neely Lohman. Follow us on Twitter at PeterKeatingNJ and at Jordan Brenner. Tell a friend and subscribe to the Underdogs Podcast anywhere you like to listen, and be sure to tune in again next week.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.